I feel that a most appropriate text for this evening is Acts chapter 11. So would you please turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 11, where we will begin reading at verse 19. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you. For you, Lord, are a good shepherd who feeds us with the finest of wheat. We thank you for your word, O Lord, and we thank you for the many examples that we have in your scripture to help us to live for your glory and for the good of our fellow men, like Barnabas. So bless our meditation upon this portion of your word tonight, we pray. Honor your servants, O Lord, and encourage them in their work, and help us all to be faithful men and women, boys and girls, to the glory of God and to the good of our fellow men. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the actual text is verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Here is a character most eminent. And characteristics most divine, which the world cannot know. Much is said in the rest of this verse and section, and in the context of the New Testament letters, about this good man, Barnabas. But I would like to point you tonight specifically to verse 24 and ask you to give your thought to the characteristics of Barnabas. You may remember that during the ministry of our Lord Jesus, a young man ran up to him as he embarked on a journey, and he knelt down before him, and he asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" A little flattery from this young man, and a loud correction from the Lord, who said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, this man needed to know that Jesus is God, not just good. But did he mean that no one was good? Why does Luke want the church to know that Barnabas was a good man? Was this a mere sentimental flourish about Barnabas? Was it merely a courtesy, like we often will say of someone, "Oh, he's a good man," or "she's a good woman"? This is a commendation from the Lord. It's a commendation of Barnabas' character and usefulness. Because, you see, goodness and faithfulness and usefulness are no accident. They do not just happen. Men of God or women of God do not just happen to be good or stumble upon a path of goodness. Rather, Luke is decorating Barnabas with those bright, colorful medals of honor which the soldiers are privileged to wear on their dress blues. Barnabas is receiving his medals of honor. Now, I'm sure that you know Barnabas personally from the scriptures, for he is one of the worthy men of God, a man for all of us to emulate and imitate. D. Edmund Hebert says of him, quote, "While he does not rank in importance in the Bible with the 12 or with Paul, it would do an injustice to Barnabas simply to call him one of the lesser lights around Paul. He was a worthy peer of Paul. And the apostle himself set Barnabas side by side with himself in Christian service. Barnabas is no lesser light in my mind either." We first meet Barnabas in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, where we are told that his name was Joseph or Joseph. Perhaps it would be good for you to turn there with me tonight and see this with your own eyes. Again, I'm sure that you are familiar, but let us turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. "Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles," which translated means "son of encouragement," "who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." The disciples honored him even here by changing his name to that Aramaic name Barnabas, which means "son of encouragement" or "consolation." Now, that was quite an honor early on in his ministry. Barnabas was really a special man, and they recognized it. From the very beginning of his involvement in the gospel cause, he was a man whose disposition it was to help other people and give sacrificially, not only of himself in the ministry of encouragement, but even of his property, some of which he sold to turn the revenue over to the apostles to help Christ's poor ones. Hebert says, quote, "He was a generous, sympathetic individual characterized by his practical helpfulness. He had a love-prompted willingness to sacrifice for the welfare of others," end quote. Next, if you turn up to Acts chapter 9, we see Barnabas allaying the understandable fears of the previously terrorized disciples of the Jerusalem church when they heard that Saul was converted. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 and following. "When he," that is Saul, "came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord." These believers had every right to ask, was this man really a captive of Christ or was he just a wolf in sheep's clothing? But Barnabas evidenced keen observation and spiritual perception of the working of the Holy Spirit in his own heart and in Saul's conversion. And the spread of the gospel in those early days, he was so in touch with God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And was true to his newfound name because he then encouraged the disciples at Antioch or in the Jerusalem church that this Saul was truly converted. Herbert Seekings said, quote, "He possessed that rare gift of insight which enables men to get beneath the surface and discover the deeps of another's soul. And often, in the face of popular prejudice, he was courageous enough to act as he saw. Then we see him in the birth of the first Gentile church in Antioch, taking us back to our text for this evening, Acts chapter 11. He was chosen by the apostles in Jerusalem to see whether the reports of a mighty work of God in Gentile territory were really credible and believable. This was a controversial advance for the church in those days. In their very narrow Jewish-centered view of things, they sincerely questioned whether the Holy Spirit really had been poured out upon those people as well, and whether they should be included, recognized as members of the true church. But when Barnabas arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage all of them so that with a resolute heart, all of them would remain true to the Lord. And here's just a scriptural sampling of the kinds of things that Barnabas did. But the honor or the badge of recognition is that found in verse 24, because he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So tonight I'd like to ask, what is the significance for us, for all of us, not just for our pastor and his wife who have served so faithfully, but for all of us tonight from this recognition given to Barnabas? And the first part of the answer is this. Number one, there is no greater honor for a Christian man or woman or a Christian minister than to be good in the sight of God and men. There is no greater honor for a Christian man or woman, boy or girl, or a Christian minister than to be good in the sight of God and man. Goodness is a character quality, or is a quality of human character, which is not ours by nature. That is, we're not born with it. But it is ours by grace. It is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul said to the church in Philippi in Philippians 1 and verse 6. He said, I am confident that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Second chapter, verse 13, he went on to develop that thought by saying, because it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The good man is a child of light. For the fruit of the light, Paul said in Ephesians 5:8, the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So if it were not for this, that is, this working of God in the heart of Barnabas, it could never be said of him, for Barnabas was a good man, never, nor about any one of us. For there is no one who does good, not even one, the psalmist said. And Paul echoed in his Gospel of Romans the goodness of the righteousness of Christ credited to our personal account is the source of our goodness and the foundation of God's good work in us. And so it's not just a flourish, a nice thing to say about someone. He's a good man. No, it all has to do with God working in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. On the other hand, the goodness that Luke is referring to here is the cascading stream of good by which Barnabas blessed others in serving Christ and received recognitions and honors even back in his earliest days. Chapter 4, verse 36, when he sold the tract of land that he had to help the poor and did it so selflessly and truly quietly. For you know the contrast to his work in chapter 4 of giving is chapter 5 and the deceptive believers Ananias and Sapphira. They're set in contrast by Luke. But Barnabas is a multifaceted illustration of the person whom Jesus described in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. You remember, he said the good man out of the good treasure of his heart. brings what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. It's a frightening thought to bring out of an evil treasure what is evil. And evil is all that is opposed to good. Barnabas did in his life just what Paul exhorted the Christians to do in their lives. Romans 15:2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. Paul exhorted the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Barnabas is a multifaceted illustration of a man who has that good treasure of a good heart, for he is good. You remember Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 23 says the desire of the righteous is only good. That verse is a constant reminder to me, and it should be to us all, that if we are righteous by virtue of Christ's righteousness imputed to us, then our desires should be only good. The desire of the righteous is only good. So much hinges on that word only. Sometimes we're satisfied with just a little bit of the fruit of the Spirit and of goodness in our lives and just excuse all the rest. But Proverbs says the desire of the righteous is only good. Would we be satisfied with a spring that was mostly pure? Or would you be satisfied with buying a bottle of spring water that was only 80% pure? Why should we be satisfied with anything less than only good? But this is how it is fed and nurtured. And this is the only way that a man will be good and known as good, if his desires are good. If what he wants and what she wants and what he wants to do and what she wants to do and what he wants to think, as far as situations come into his or her life, only good desires. That's the kind of man that Barnabas was. Even when evil comes to tempt, or trials come to test, or challenges come to divide us as the people of God, we must be committed to doing what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. Overcome evil with good. Have a clear cut, black and white view in your life that there are only two categories of being and doing in life, good and evil. The psalmist said, God is good and does good. And the God who is good has begun a good work in us. So the God who is good and does good is at work in us to work and to will of his good pleasure. But what happens next? All this goodness imputed to us in Jesus Christ that fills our hearts with good desires. What happens next? Then we have a good name. A good name is better than good ointment. Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is more desired than great wealth. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. How does one receive a good name from his companions, from his family, or his church, or his spouse, or his children, or his parents? Well, be a Barnabas. Do the deeds of Barnabas. And all those Christians whose lives testify to the fruit of goodness working through faith. Are you good? Pastor, I'm not sure. How do I know if I'm good? Well, there are three things you must have in order to be good. One, you must have Christ's righteousness. Second, you must have good desires. And third, you must have good deeds. Now, if you are good, and if I have Christ's righteousness and good desires and good deeds, then I will also have a good heart, a good conscience, and a good name. So you see, you and I can know if we are good. This badge given by Luke to Barnabas in Acts 11:24, it's not just for Christian ministers, you know. It's for any of the people of God who love goodness, righteousness, who love, in another context and way of putting it, Philippians 4 and verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovable, whatever is of good reputation, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise. It's for all of those who set their mind on those things. It's for all of those who put aside, in a more negative context, who put aside all of their anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from their mouth and falsehood and bitterness and clamor and slander, and who are kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, and who walk in love. So there is no greater honor in the sight of God or man than to be good. Some of you know my wife and I recently were privileged to go to England, and one of the coach tours that we took, the tour guide, who was an excellent tour guide, a woman from Ireland, very full of knowledge and full of ideas and interesting stories, was telling us about one of the men in the Windsor Castle whose statue was there. And she said, "I really like him because he was really bad. The good people are kind of boring," she said. Do you still want to be bad, or do you want to be good? I want to be good. Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. The second thing that I offer to you tonight by way of application as to what all this means for us is that there's no other way to be good than to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. No, there's no other way. Barnabas was one of those many believers in the days of the expansion of the church who was endowed with the full presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas is our true charismatic, the test strip of the waters of spirituality, true and false. The righteousness and the desires and the deeds of Barnabas, or any other believer for that matter, are planted and prompted and prospered by the Holy Spirit of God. There's no other way. For the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us as the greatest gift of God to us. In Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 4, verse 10, is it? Paul speaks about God as the God who gives His Holy Spirit to us. That's as His name. Who is the God that you serve? Who is the God that you believe in and love? Oh, He's the God who gives His Holy Spirit to us. You may remember Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's the best thing that we can receive from God. Sure, there are lots of things that you're praying for in your life. Things, good desires, things that you ask the Lord for and desire from Him that are completely righteous in His sight. But you know, the best thing that God can give all of us, any of us, is His Holy Spirit. So there's no other way to be good than to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When John the Baptist preached, although he called Jesus the Lamb of God, he didn't expound the cross, neither did Jesus, until he got close to it. But he did say, "I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And when Jesus was ascended, prior to His ascension, He said to them, "Remain in the city and wait for the great promise which the Father gave, which you have from the Father, for you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Acts 1 and verse 5. So Barnabas was one of those who experienced this baptism in or with the Holy Spirit. He was one who was baptized into the ocean of the Spirit's working in the desert of life. Paul used that imagery in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, where he said that we were all baptized into one body and all made to drink of one Spirit. A very unique verse, a very unique reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe there is any other reference in the New Testament which tells about us drinking out of the same pool as that one does. But that's how we become good. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we know that we receive the Holy Spirit through the faith that saves us, that justifying faith that receives the righteousness of God in Christ as we repudiate or when we repudiate our sins and repent of them and receive the Savior. But we receive the Spirit also through the faith that seeks the Lord Jesus and sanctifies us every day as we are cleansed and washed and purged by the water and the fire of the Holy Spirit. How do we receive or live in the life of the Spirit? Also by a jealous watchfulness and a zealous scrutiny of our own hearts, which keeps us from grieving the Spirit or making Him sad, and of quenching the great works of the Spirit that He is doing in our hearts or in the hearts of others. And so we should pray every day. You can pray in the language of the Old Testament, Psalm 143 and verse 10, "You are my God, let your good Spirit lead me on level ground." Or you can pray in the language of the New Testament, Luke 11, verse 13. "Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Drown out self and sin, and pour Spirit-given life upon the seeds of your word that you have planted in my heart, O Lord." Consider this. God would not have given us His Holy Spirit, which, by the way, that's Himself, isn't it? His Spirit is Himself. He would not have given us His Holy Spirit if He were not serious about making us good in every respect and in every part of our life. Never say this. Never, never say, "I can't help it. It's just the way I am." God has given you His Holy Spirit. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He has given us His Holy Spirit as part of His overall plan to sanctify us and make us like Himself. For His Spirit is Himself. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God the Father. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, as Jesus said in the upper room. And as the great controversy in the 11th century of the Christian church yielded that confession that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Therefore, never say, "I can't help it. It's just the way I am." God has given you His Spirit and the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, to fill your life and mine. Barnabas was a good man. It's not enough to say Barnabas was a good man. You have to say Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. They all go together. And that's the third point. There is nothing more exciting than to live the life of faith. Or there is nothing more exciting in life than to live by faith. Barnabas, like all of the other good men and women of God's work, who were full of the Holy Spirit, were privileged to spend their lives in the most noble and necessary work that any human being could become involved in, the work of the gospel, which is not just for Christian ministers, but for all the people of God. People like many of you who have their daily occupations outside of preaching or church leadership were among the most noble and useful, none the least of which was Paul himself, don't forget, who spent his days making tents and preaching the gospel, for he had unique reasons thrust upon him by God's providence to do those two things. But you cannot read over the list of names in a passage like Romans 16, for example, or scattered through the gospels and letters of ordinary people who poured themselves out by faith into the work that God was doing in the world. They were good people, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. They lived, they walked, and they worked by faith. They saw the meaning and purpose of life by faith, and they put their hands to the plow of the work of faith. And you can be one of them. You should be one of them. You must be one of them, just like Barnabas. You cannot be good and not be one of them. And your life, and my life, and your pastor's life, and your pastor's wife's life will be like a well-watered garden with variety and color and fragrance and beauty to all who come near to us. Dearest friends, I'm here to tell you what I believe you already know. Over 25 years of ministry and friendship, Pastor Mitch and his wife Nancy are a good man and a good woman of God, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So what does this mean for all of us? What does it mean for you? Join with them. Join with them. Follow them. Get to know them better. If you are in any way distant from them, work with them. Endure patiently with them. Let no evil thought or purpose spoil the heritage that you have with them, or the prospect of longevity and loyalty that lies before us as the people of God. We are to keep our friends, and we're not to forsake even our father's friends. Proverbs 2 and verse 20 says it better than this. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. That's what I'm trying to say. Or Hebrews puts it this way. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's what we need to do. And Pastor Mitch, my brother, and dear Nancy, all your goodness and righteousness and service and usefulness is written in God's book of remembrance. But we're not satisfied with that tonight. And the people of grace are not satisfied with that. We want to tell you how much we appreciate what God has made you both to be. And what you have striven with faith and perseverance and patience to be. We honor you for that. And in honoring you for that, we honor the Lord and His great work in your lives. Let us pray. Father,